Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 15 and 16 this morning. So Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord. I'm not really a New Year's Eve or a New Year's resolution type of person, and I don't know why that is, but I do like to set goals, and this gets a little embarrassing because the turn of the year is a really great time to set some goals, so maybe I am a New Year's resolution type of guy while rebelliously saying I'm not. And the reason I bring that up is at the beginning of 21, I made some goals that I realized were long overdue, and it's been a good year. One of the goals, in fact, it was January 6th of 2021, when you remember all the stuff at the Capitol building and so forth, it was on that day that I realized I don't belong on social media. There was just a side of Christianity that I'm not spiritually mature enough to know about, and I decided to just pull back substantially from social media. And, you know, I don't regret it. I think I'm a better person for not being on there. And what I decided to do was to take those blocks of minutes that I would click on the app or whatever and scroll. I decided to replace that with reading. And it's pretty incredible how 10 minutes of reading here, there, and a few times throughout the week or throughout the day, you can get a lot of good reading done. Again, I think I'm just a better person for redeeming that time. But I also set goals regarding diet and physical exercise, and the Lord was so good. The Lord was kind. It was a hard year, but the Lord showed himself to be faithful. And one of the ways that I had hoped to grow in 21 was just more, almost like a love for Jesus. Does that make sense? I mean, I did love him, but I wanted to love him more passionately, more intimately. And just to press further into Jesus, have him press further into me. And I think the Lord did that. Another goal was that I would love and enjoy my family free of guilt, because I haven't always done that well. I didn't want to feel bad when I was unhurried in my time with my family. And as the year ended, I reflected and said, "Thank you, Lord. Now what?" Not resolution, but goal. And the only thing that came to mind this year was maintain and be a man of prayer. Just grow in your personal prayer life. And so there are steps that I'm taking to remind me to pray. There's a plan that I have that assists me in prayer. So pray for that if you will. And I wonder, do you have goals? Do you have plans for 22? There's a verse that we read that should always be the goal of every single follower of Jesus. Look at verse 15 with me again. "Rather, speaking the truth in love," here's the goal that every single Christian should have: "to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." That is God's will for every one of us. And that should be a goal that we put out before our lives every day: to grow up in every way, to be like Christ. Do you have a goal? Do you have a plan to grow in this way? For this year and every year until the Lord comes back, those moments when you stop and say, "God, I'm confused. What's your will for me?" Remember, Mark, go back to Ephesians 4:15, to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So then the question to start with today is, are you growing? In this moment of your life, this season of your life, are you growing up into Christ? Do you have goals for growth? Okay, I've walked in this area, I've grown in this area, but this other area in my life is kind of void of some godliness, or I continue to give into that sin in this area of my life, and I want to address that in this year. Do you have growth goals? for this year? And if so, what's the plan? Because you need a plan. You need to have action steps day by day, even maybe blocks of time, half day by half day, to return to it, to grow up, to be like Christ. I mentioned last week that for these first 3 weeks of the year, we're going to be highlighting loosely what we would call a strategy for how we're going to glorify God and make disciples. And it revolves around, and it is circular, but it revolves around the words to gather, grow, and go. And that growing piece we'll look at next week. Part of that, or part of that going piece that we'll look at next week, is to be inviting people to join with us as we gather, grow, and go. And so for last week, we highlighted the gather piece from Hebrews chapter 10. And if you were not here, you can go to YouTube, I think, or our church website and go back and watch it. And sure, there are things I wish I would say differently, I could have said more clearly, but it lives out there on the internet now, and we'll just let the Lord deal with whatever it is. So please go back. If you want to know who we are as a church, or you want to know where we're going as a church, go back and listen to that. And Lord willing, the Lord will minister to you and speak to you. The big idea was the church is more than a gathering, but it's never less than a gathering. Like, if we fail to gather, then we fail to be a church. And so that's that go or gather piece. For this morning, we're, from Ephesians 4, we're going to consider this idea of grow, this aspect of our strategy, grow. And I think it's already up there. Bring it up, Ryan, if you will. The whole church body grows in Christ-likeness. And this is, by the way, this is what Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 is saying to us. The whole church body grows in Christ-likeness as each member is equipped to properly work by speaking the truth in love. Again, it's on the handout, or if you want to pull out your phone and take a screenshot of that, because it may be a lot to write down. The whole church body grows in Christ-likeness as each member is equipped to properly work by speaking the truth in love. And I've already said this, we've already read it, we're in the book of Ephesians. And this book, if you're not familiar with it, hear me, it is a masterpiece. It is an extraordinary gift from God to His people. If you're not familiar with Ephesians, please take some time this week. There's only 6 chapters, and just read through it and marvel at Jesus. Marvel at God's eternal plan in Christ to save His people. Ephesus was a major player. It was not some obscure little town like Nazareth. It was like a serious cultural hub. And so the people in Ephesus, our brothers and sisters that are born again, would have been steeped in Roman culture. And Paul wrote this letter, led by the Holy Spirit, to articulate some things. And first is that mysterious work of Christ from before the foundation of the world to bring about salvation. And the second, so that's chapters 1 through 3, chapters 4 through 6, the second part of Ephesians is how that work of God actually in real time affects or impacts His people. Another way of saying it is new life in Christ gives us new purpose through Christ in a new family with Christ. So there's life, purpose, family, all of it through Jesus. And what would be a terrible tragedy is if you or I read the book of Ephesians and came to the end of it and said, wow, I've really got a great place in Jesus. That's not wrong. That's just not Ephesians. That's not the point. The point would be we have something great in Jesus. So when you read it, don't make it about the individual. Make it about this new family. Make it about where He tore down the dividing wall and united us as one new creation, one people in one Lord. See, when we're born again through the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit, as we repent and come to Jesus, we're no longer identified as individuals. Yes, you make an individual a decision to know and to trust and to repent and to follow Jesus. But after that individual decision, everything else is lived out in community as a family. And so we're no longer identified along ethnic lines. but as one family. Read with me the first six verses of Ephesians 4. Paul said, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. By the way, it doesn't say isolating, does it? Retreating when people irritate you. It doesn't say leave that church and go find one, find some other one. Well, all of this is a call to unity and humility. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The key word that Paul wants us to draw out from Ephesians 4, these early verses, is one. One. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Do you think he wants us to see something? Do you think he wants us to notice that, oh, we're not just a collection of individuals, but we've been united together as one. We're not just random individual parts, but we're a body that's held, that's joined together as one body by one Lord for that one purpose. And God's will from Ephesians 4 is that his individual followers would be united, joined, as one church lived out in a local community. For them, it was Ephesus. For us, individuals drawn in, joined, held together as one family lived out here in this community. So Ephesians is saying, all glory to God, we belong to Jesus, right? And Ephesians is saying, all glory to God, you ready? We belong to one another. Maybe not so quick to say, hallelujah, to thine be the glory. You see, I know a lot of Christians that we got this me and Jesus thing sorted out. It's the people that are the problem. Well, you know who the problem is? Jesus. Because it's his will that we're united to the people. And if you don't love the people, you don't love Jesus. I will say it again. If you don't love the people of Jesus, then you don't love Jesus. This is a correcting word. So when we think back to that Hebrews 4 passage that I read at the beginning, that we draw near in confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, part of the way God says, I hear you, and I love you, and I'll help you, is called a church family. And so when we isolate, when we forsake, when we retreat, when we cast stones, we are daring God, testing God. Keep your word to be faithful to me, even though I refuse to receive your care. And the way God keeps his people is the word, the body, right? Through the Spirit. There's all these means. One of the ways is through his body. It is God's will for us to grow. Amen? And it is God's will for us to grow together. Amen? So the church is far more than a good idea. It is the eternal plan of God. So we gather. And as we gather, we begin to grow. We're going to look at that statement that's up on the screen in three parts. And the first part is going to be this idea of equipped to properly work. The whole church body grows in Christ's likeness as each member is equipped to properly work. Again, I think that's what verses 15 and 16 are saying. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So, led by the Holy Spirit, Paul is writing in a manner so that we see ourselves not as individuals, but as a part or a member of a body. The whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, so you have whole body, You have every particular joint, and then you have each part working properly. So then you should think about for a moment your human body. It is what it is by the divine, mysterious, providential orchestration of God. You and I, at some point in the past, we were knit together in our mother's womb. Like there's some mystery to how God is pulling all of that off. We're fashioned by God. I am. And you are. And you are. And you are. And so is the church. We are fashioned by God. Your role, your part, is the divine orchestration of God. And so he says the whole body is joined and held together by the equipping of God. And then it says when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow. You have a part in this. You have a role in this. The community of believers grows and matures through the active participation of every individual member. I want to say that again. I want to say it again because I'm not convinced every one of us knows that, believes that, and is like wholeheartedly bought into that. I think some of us still believe we are optional. It's probably good for me to be there. They probably benefit in some manner, but it's okay if I'm not there. Ephesians 4 is shouting back at that. Not true. Not true. The community of believers grows and matures through the active participation of every individual member. Each part, this says. I love how particular the language is here. Each part, this belongs to God. Look at verses 7 and 8 real quick. We're going to see God is the one who's given these things. All the way back up in verses 7 and 8. Grace was given to, I lost my spot, to each one of us. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. So grace was given to each according to the plan of God. And when he ascended, he gave gifts to each one of us. We each have a role. We each have a purpose, a function. And you are needed for this to grow. And by the way, in Ephesians 1, the word grow is numerically. It's growing around the whole world. In Ephesians 4, the word grow is like growing in stature, in maturity. We grow in Christ's likeness because of one another, with one another. And our growth is stunted as we say, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to participate. I will stay away. It's not just a you and Jesus decision. You're affecting your family's health and maturity. Each Sunday, we gather at 10:30. Apart from 6 or 8 weeks back in 2020, by the sheer mercy of God, we're able to meet in this building 10:30, week by week by week. That is not, that must not, that can't not be the only way we are connected. It cannot be the only way we are joined and held together. Remember, the church is more than a gathering. Not every one of you has been called and gifted by God for public preaching and teaching. But every one of you was made by God for ministry. I have my unique role, and I didn't choose it. Believe me, I am just fine sweeping. But the Lord said, I've gifted you and called you. Go and do. And so I'm here. But you have other gifts. You have other gifts to contribute to the life and to the health of a church. Way beyond what happens here. Look at verses 11 and 12, or 11, 12, and 13 now. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's saying right here, God in his plan gave public gifts, apostles, and he goes through these lists of those that have, maybe we would say, the mouth of the ministry. And when you're thinking of a body, these are like the verbal gifts. But then he says in verse 12, these things were given for a purpose. And what's the purpose in verse 12? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So the ministry in some part is that of an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or a shepherd, pastor, a teacher. But those gifts are given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. What ministry? Well, it's not shepherding and teaching. What ministry? Honestly, it depends on how God has gifted you. So some of you have the gift of hospitality, and your heart begins to race with excitement as you think about getting a group, it can be a small group of three people, together into your home to show them love, to show them that they're welcome and appreciated and valuable. And some of you hear that and say, God, no! I don't want anybody coming to my home, right? What's wrong with that crazy guy that wants people into his home? See, that's a part of the gifting of God. And then others have gifts of administration. You love the details. You love to be behind the scenes orchestrating things. And guys like me say, I'm going to get stressed out. I'm going to get the hives if I think about I've got to worry about details. I've got my gift. You have your gift. Gifts of service or administration or hospitality or whatever it may be. Write down if you can a couple verses, because some of this may be new to you and you're like, I don't even know where to start where I'm gifted. So write down some verses real quick that you can go back to for later reference. Romans 12 verses 6, 7, and 8, 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Ephesians 4:11, what we just read right here about these offices, these public gifts, Ephesians 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11, more gifts from God. And then are you ready? 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the three chapters. because Paul draws it out, not just the gifting, but the practice of it, the benefit of it. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So I said Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, Ephesians 4:11, 1 Peter 4:11, and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. What these are Bible verses where we have some articulation of spiritual gifts. And you'll start to see, I believe, oh, I kind of lean that way. Maybe I should explore that. Or, ooh, that ain't me. And that's okay. Hear me on this. You want to know the best, and I am fully convinced the wisest way to learn your spiritual gifts? You ready? Start serving anywhere. And your brothers and sisters will help you discern, yay or nay. You'll know in the moment when your heart begins to race with joy that you've been useful to the Lord in that manner. It's like your happiness and man's need intersect to the needs prosperity, not oppression. And you'll realize, oh, that's what God has gifted me for. I could play that role in the kingdom of God. All glory be to God. Now that takes humility. Because you may do something and then we come along and go, thank you for your effort. How about we move this way and try this now? But you know what I know. God gives grace to the humble. And so as you show yourself to be humble, yeah, I'll serve in that area. And then you learn I'm not gifted there. It won't be a wound. It'll be joy. Oh, praise the Lord, I tried. Now I've got this new opportunity. What will be the outcome? If we all embrace our gifts from the Lord and we're all being used by the Lord, what will be the outcome of this equipping the saints for the work of ministry? We're all now equipped. We're all now doing the work of ministry. What will be the outcome? From verses 12 through 16 of Ephesians, what we learn is we will be like Jesus. That's what he's holding out for us. We'll be like Jesus. And when you think about Jesus, you don't find a stressed out man, do you? You don't find a man you don't find a man that's afraid. You find freedom. You find joy, peace. You find a settledness in his communion with the Father. You find a man that loves people. And so that's what Paul is holding out for us here. But it takes death to self. It takes that realizing in my natural state, I'm the problem. All this individual stuff is what I need to repent of because that's what Jesus came to free me from. And I don't need to bring that now with me into following Jesus. I gave all of that to Jesus in his death on the cross, and he atoned for that. Not so I live in it, I'm free from it. So Lord, as a new creation, would you remind me daily, I exist for them, for your name's sake, not for me. And what you'll find is there's a man standing there with you. There's an Almighty who has his arm around you, and he's saying, well done, peace. Well done, freedom. Well done, life. Life. That's what he's offering us because he's offering us Christ's likeness. When each part is equipped to properly work, the whole church grows in Christ's likeness. When each part is connected and each part is playing its role, the whole church grows in Christ's likeness. So then, are you connected? Don't leave here today without answering that. Are you connected? Beyond Sunday morning at 10:30, are you connected? Who are you connected to? And in that connection, are you, they, growing in Christ's likeness? Is that connection reflecting more of Jesus in your heart, in their heart? Do you know anyone that's not connected? Have you seen someone that they're here on Sunday at 10:30, but beyond that, they really don't have any connection? If so, hear me. You inviting them to join you in being connected, to join you in serving, that's a ministry from the Lord. Because didn't he come to the outsider and say, come to me? Didn't he come to the apostles and say, follow me? That's a ministry. So if you know someone that's not connected, brother and sister, in Jesus' name, and dwell with the Holy Spirit, invite them. Pursue them. Come on. Come with me. You don't have to go alone. Come sit with me in the class. Come serve with me in this area. The whole church grows in Christ's likeness when, as each member is equipped to properly work by, this is the second part, speaking the truth in love. By speaking the truth in love. So in verse 15, he begins with that word rather, at least in the ESV, it begins with the word rather, and he's setting this contrast between what he has just said and what the will of God is. And what he just said, look at verse 14. As God is doing this work, this one work through these gifts to build up the body of Christ, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather than all of that, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. So how do we grow up each world by truth? Every gift, every ministry speaks the truth in love. That's how we grow, brothers and sisters. You hear me? It's not a new program. It's not a new program. It's not a new preacher. It's not. The Word of God does the work of God. This word, speaking the truth in love, this word truth is Paul's shorthand for something far bigger. And we see it in 1:13. So look back there. And what you're going to see is truth is shorthand for the gospel. The good news about Jesus. So look at 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. A little bit later in 4:21, Paul says this, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So back here now in 4:15, when he says speaking the truth in love, he's saying speaking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in love. Speaking the news, that glorious news of God's saving work, that wonderful hallelujah news of God's eternal plan of sending his son to deliver sinners, his people, to preserve his people, change his people, hold them firm to the end and carry them all the way home. That's how we grow, by telling the old story and all of its implications over and over and over. So this gospel, when you think of the gospel, I think sometimes we think of it like we think of the word saved, like this very small, simple moment of time that I heard the gospel and I was saved. But the gospel is far more than this, just like salvation is far more than a canceling of sin. Those are true, just not complete. The gospel is, it's the story of God's presence. It's the story of God has canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He's forgiven us all our trespasses. And he's made us new creatures in Christ. And so some of us live and die on the reminder that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. But other of us live and die on the reminder that I will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah, amen. And both of those are true because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what he's talking about here, is keep ongoing without fail, reminding one another of who God is, who you were, what he's done for you, and who you are. That's how we grow. So when you come to the book of Romans, and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, it does not say the power of God unto conversion. It's salvation with all of its implications. And then Paul said he was eager to preach the gospel to the saints in Rome. He was eager to speak the truth in love to the saints in Rome. I finish every week, Lord willing, by saying something like, we have gathered here to worship Jesus, what? And to grow in his gospel. Speaking the truth in love is how we grow. Speaking the truth of the gospel is how we grow. So all I did was take Ephesians and kind of simplify it, draw out exactly what it means. We've gathered here today to celebrate Jesus and to grow in his gospel. But that has to be more than a benediction. This speaking the truth in love, speaking the good news about Jesus, has to permeate all areas of church life, of every ministry. It's not reserved for the public preaching of the word or merely the reading of scripture or the songs we sing here. That's true. But it needs to be in the hallways. It needs to be back there when you're getting coffee, speaking the truth in love. Lord willing, right now, there are some adults back there with some kiddos, speaking the truth in love. And you're going to go out in just a few moments, Lord willing. And you're going to get in your car, Lord willing. And you're going to speak the truth in love. And you're going to go have lunch. And you're going to speak the truth in love. And maybe this week you're going to be inspired to send a card or a text. Speak the truth in love. Maybe you're going to knock on a door and visit someone or pick up a phone and actually call them. Speak the truth in love. Every aspect of who we are grows in health in Christ-likeness to the degree that we, and I want to look at those that are tracking online, we speak the truth in love to one another. This is not Paul saying, hey, you guys, as he, the hired guy, speaks the truth in love. This is we language. You're gifted. Administration, hospitality, service, whatever it may be. And it has a same result, a same calling, a different expression. Speak the truth in love. That's why we exist. You hear me? Why is there a Black Mountain Baptist Church? To speak the truth in love. Why have individuals been adopted into a family? To speak the truth in love. Do you ever wonder about the language of join a church? I never had that question thrown my way when I lived in the Southeast. I guess it's just like Jesus, barbecue, sweet tea, just all kind of goes together. It's just, you join church. Arizona is not the case. And I've heard repeatedly for the last whatever number of years, why should I join a church? Show me in the Bible. I will concede there is no proof text that says you should join a church. Because it tells us right here, the whole body joined and held together. There's a union that God has done mysteriously, spiritually, that then we physically agree with. God has knit me to you. God has joined me to you. I want you to know what I recognize. So why join a church? I would just say to obey God, because this is the plan of God. When we get together, there's a place to talk about sports. There's a place to talk about the kitchen renovation or whatever it may be. But never let that be what we only talk about. What is God's will for our conversation? Speak the truth in love. Now see if that changes post-service conversations. See if that changes how we do a business meeting at the end of our service. Why do we have a business meeting? To speak the truth in love. Okay? Am I belaboring the point? Yeah. But don't miss, this comes from a good and wise God. He loves us so much. And he's so committed to us that he sent his son. And we don't outgrow that. That nurtures us all the days of our life. The whole church body grows in Christ-likeness as each member is equipped to properly work by speaking the truth in love. So then we go all the way back to the beginning. The whole church body grows. So I have a question. Are you growing? Remember that question? Are you growing? Have you plateaued in your relationship with Jesus? Maybe have you drifted? You're not as passionate in your love for Jesus. You're not as diligent in your communion with Jesus as you once were. Maybe it would be like the book of Revelation where Jesus wrote a letter. You ready for this? To the church in Ephesus. And he commended them for one thing after another. But he said, there's one thing I have against you. You've lost your first love. This church that we're reading about right here, that received this wonderful instruction, it sounds like they didn't receive it. It stopped growing in that relationship with him. They had the works without the affection. Is that novel to Ephesus? No, it's likely we have it with us today. That you reminisce about a time in which you were a certain way with the Lord and now you're in a funk. You're not serving in the way you once served. You're not reading in the way you once read. You're not sharing in the way that you once shared. Are you growing? Because this is the will of God for the individuals that make up that one body. Growth happens in part as we gather week by week. But it's not the only way that growth happens. Growth happens as we do the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. It's not God's will for you to sort all that out as an individual. It's God's will for you to sort that out as a member of a body. And we're helping one another in that process of discerning fruit of the Spirit and deeds of the flesh. So then we grow. Yes, in part by personal Bible reading. Now, I just want to beg you, get a plan to read the Bible and get a friend to read it with you. And to talk once a week or text periodically, encouragement. How's the reading going? Encourage one another in that plan. Get a plan to read the Word and a friend to read the Word with. but also join a Bible study group. That means you got to rearrange things in your life. Right now, on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we offer a handful of Bible studies. Students, we offer one at 9 o'clock, right? It's not just for the really holy kids. It's for any in that teenage window. And then we have a second one on Sunday evening, right? Parents, teenagers are knuckleheads. Press them to do it. Shepherd them to do it. Church, pray for them to do it. Encourage them to do it. Young adults, join one of the existing classes. Please, brother, sister, young adult, don't sit back and say, if you'll start a young adult class, I'll come. Join an existing one because Titus 2 commends the benefit of the wisdom of multi-generational ministry. Maybe there are people older than you that were once young adults that need to speak into your life, but maybe they need to hear from you as well. And start a community group for young adults. Parents with kids, you may not know this. We offer kids ministry every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. It's pretty awesome. You have no idea the fruit you will reap when you get into the discipline and your children get into the discipline of coming week by week, 9 o'clock, sit in a class, and you sit with other adults. You have no idea the long-term fruit that your family will bear. Pray for families to do this. But also start a community group. Let it be beyond Sunday morning. See, we could keep doing this over and over and over, and I'm saying there's a lot of people standing back with excuses of why they can't, and you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting the whole family. But you say, let's say I just offended you, and you're going to take your ball and go home. Now you're going to make it worse on yourself by separating from a church. And if you go to the next church and do the same thing there, you're going to hurt them as well. So you might as well stay here with the church that you already know and love. And let's sort through these things together. That's called being a family, right? And then let's not just cast stones, because it is hard to raise kids. It is exasperating to get kids up in the morning. We know that, right? So let's encourage. Let's pray. Let's give grace. Let's help. Not harass. I think some of you, though, you just need to commit this morning. You need to commit this morning to join a class. Some of you need to commit to hospitality. You've talked about it for far too long, and today is the day that you say, effective now, at least once a month, we're going to have people into our home for Christian hospitality. Around the dinner table, the fire pit, whatever. And we're going to speak the truth in love with our gifts and our personality. Some of us need to commit to that today. My point in all this is don't wait for me to figure out some new novel way. Some of this is God's provided a way. Some of it is you have holy ambitions and gifts. Do it. Do it. Start it. This is not about the guy up front needs to sort all this out and y'all get in line and follow him. This is about a body functioning. Will you? Will we? Each with our individual gifts, joined and held together by the equipping of God, speak the truth in love so that we grow up into Him? Would you agree Jesus is worth it? Would you agree we are worth it? And would you agree you are worth it? That's what He's called us to. And He's good. He really is. And it's up to us now, by the Holy Spirit's help, to trust Him. Will you commit? Gather, grow, because He has given us a mission to go. But we've got to sort out this grow, this community, this body bit, so that we can stay on mission until He comes. Let's pray. Lord, be near to us and shepherd us in truth. Your word is truth. Where we have harassed one another, God, forgive us, please. May we forgive one another. Where we've been impatient, God, forgive us, and may we forgive one another. But also, Lord, where we've been complacent and leaving people, growing frustrated and forgetting about people, God, forgive us, and may we forgive one another. But Lord, we pray that the gospel would be precious to us, that Jesus would be precious, and we would want to and enjoy talking about Jesus more. Across all ages in a body, that we wouldn't make excuses ever again. We would say, Lord, I'm here fashioned by you. Help me to be faithful in my calling. Help me to steward my home, my work, all for your name's sake. So do the work that you intend so that we praise you and we'll grow up to be like you. Thank you that you've begun a work, and we believe that you will bring it to completion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.